Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me now? Good. Welcome to the Crossover Cafe. It's your boy TP Timeless. I'm sitting here with a smile on my face. It's early. It's early. The start of the show is about to kick off. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie. Step aside, the kitchen timeless is alive. Number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And like I said, it's early. I'm up here smiling, man. I'm trying my best to get this kitchen started, but I got the best of the West battle going on, and boy, these dudes look like they're in prime postseason play. But it's like I said, it's early. I got to calm down. I got to chill. And y'all know me in the kitchen. I do not like talking about my boys at all. So I'm not doing this biased stuff by any means. I'm a little happy with what happened on the diamond in the baseball world. I mean, my Twins caught one on the chin in the first game. They ended up knocking the Tigers upside the head the second and third game. So I'm a little happy right now. My sports stuff is going. Like, I'm going to put out some good dishes. It's all basketball today, but I just had to get that one out there. But just like I said, the call number 917-889-9592. A lot of topics to jump into. A lot of team talk to discuss. I know a lot of people are coming to this kitchen with grins on their face. Calling in by way of the state of Michigan, we have our own chef, Jason G. I can't say JG anymore because there's a lot of JGs. There's James Greenwood, there's Mr. Griffin, there's Jason Gittler, but I got to get Jason Gittler up in this kitchen. How are you feeling? Welcome to the cafe.
I am feeling well, Ty. Jason G is fine by me. I'm ready to talk some pro hoops tonight. And still biting at the bit for that Michigan game on Saturday. Let's get it going.
Okay. We'll see how you guys pan out on Saturday and see if you can advance till Monday. We'll hope for the best of wishes. I don't know. I got to look at the bracket that I'm in right now because I got somebody that's behind me that has Michigan winning it. So I can't see Michigan win it if I want to get this money. I'm sorry, Sports City, I don't condone the gambling, but it's a prize at the end of the tunnel, so I gotta do what I gotta do. I feel like I picked well enough with the doggone Hurricanes let me down. If they would have been in this run, I'd have been looking good. Calling in by way of the state of Florida, I think he is now, but he is an Ohioan. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but we have the other JG, Mr. Grissom. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling great. Brooklyn, you don't want it. My boys are going to be healthy in the playoffs. You don't want it, Brooklyn.
I'm sorry. Believe me, I have all of these dishes set. I'm asking you. Listen. Okay. I don't know how I could do this any better. I guess I have to say, Jordan, tell me about how you're feeling. I got these dishes laid out. Like, you can't take the topics from me. Then by the time I get to it, everybody's like, well, that's bland. We don't want it. Like they have to still have that pop when I put it out there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if it smells good, you got to dip into the pot a little bit. If it's smelling good, you know, you take your spoon and you dip in and you get that early sample. So,
Listen, let me tell you like this. I know if Ms. Grissom saw you reaching in her pot, she would tear something up.
I'm just reaching right now. I'm gonna wait for it to come up, but
okay.
All I'm saying is they don't want it.
Okay. And last but not least, and I know he's gonna get into one of these pots, but I hope I can do this right. I know he's gonna reach into one of these pots. JC from Status Radio, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
I brought a prop, so this will explain how I'm feeling.
I'll be honest with you. 1983? Wow. Okay. Okay. So you're throwing out no New York stuff? Wow. Wow. That's when I was in middle school. That's bad. Boy, that's bad. That's
can,
okay.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Okay. Okay. That's how they play. They're not playing fair in the kitchen. Okay. Fair enough. Last but not least, he just split into the kitchen. Late as always. We got to get this dude some time. You know, I try to call myself timeless. I guess I just got to call him the alarm clock. But AKA Aaron Simmons, welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Yo, man, I'm good, man. It's kicking back, chilling out on a Thursday evening on the Crossover Cafe. Let's go to work.
Okay, now, Jason, I'm going to pick with one of your guys right now. I have to. And it's not LeBron. It's not Dwayne Wade. It's not Chalmers. It's not Ray Allen. But it's the one that everybody seems to pick on. Some people call him the dinosaur. Some people talk about his ways. I'm not even going to get into that. Whatever he does, he does. Christopher Bosch. Now, this is something that I don't get here. Now, I want to see how you guys feel about this. Jason, I'm going to come to you first. If y'all, this is something that just caught my eye. And not only did I shake my head, it's like, how much more could happen to this guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, you win a championship, I give you that credit. Okay, cool. He just had a birthday party at his house, right? Invited some people over and had, like, one of those theme parties, like, where you come in your own costume or whatever. This is his birthday party, right? Somebody in his party stole $340,000 worth of jewelry out of this dude's crib. The only thing that wasn't harmed was his championship ring, but they stole that much jewelry out of this dude's crib. Now, one, I'm not, if I'm a million-dollar athlete, I'm not inviting shiesty dudes over my crib, one. And two, my jewelry is going to be locked up right where that ring is. Like, if they didn't get to that ring, $340,000 worth of jewelry is not going to be sitting out there in the open for any of you to be getting to. So, Jason, your thoughts on Chris Bosh and all that this guy's been going through, I want to say in the past 2 years or so, I mean, from when they lost the championship to Dallas and everybody's picking on him for, you know, breaking down emotionally, which that happens in sports regardless. I'm not even looking at that. But all of the different pictures and views that you've seen of Chris Bosh from then till now, and this, for this situation to happen of $340,000 of jewelry to be stole from this guy's house, and it was called a Moroccan theme party where they had camels. They even had police there. Police were there, and it still happened at his house. I mean, your thoughts?
The police were there, but somebody came dressed up as a burglar. You know, the thing about Chris Bosh is there's just some people in life that have this pattern that no matter what move they make, it always goes wrong for them. And even when he got chosen, so to speak, to be a part of the Heat, when LeBron and Wade came together, you know, there was a lot of people that questioned that move considering the type of skill level he actually has. You know, between his baby mama drama, between getting the jewelry stolen, I think you said it right just, you know, leading us into the subject. I just don't understand these people. You know, they're so reckless, and I don't think that's anything that anybody here can understand. They're so reckless with their stuff. And I don't know what 380 grand of jewelry looks like. And no, I do not have it upstairs. But I damn sure know that there's a little thing called a safe, has a little key, maybe a combination, maybe super steel enforced. You know, there's some things that it just don't make sense. You know, he had all the baby mama problems, if you remember. That was a ridiculous situation in itself. He's got the girlfriend problem recently where his girlfriend was linked to what, Young Money or whatever? You know, it seems like everything that he touches just goes to complete shit. And there's just people in life that their luck works out that way, so to speak. I'll take his luck. I'll take $20 million a year. I'll take that little hit with the jewelry department because his insurance company isn't going to be happy with that. But, you know, some people in life just don't make correct decisions, don't have the correct people around them. He even didn't make right decisions with his hairstyle. But remember back when he was with a predator-looking dude with the Raptors? You know, he just doesn't do the right things. And I don't think any of us can sit here and explain it properly. He just sucks at life.
I don't want to say sucks at life. I more or less want to say unfortunate.
You don't take care of your kids, you suck at life.
I have to find a different word. Unfortunate is because 340. Listen, they have phones out, right? They have new cell phones out. Like, you can't open the phone up unless you have the right eye. Like, one of my friends that I work with, you know, he opens his phone up with his eye. Like, you can't open. I would do something like that. You can't open up the safe unless you have my eyelids. Like, you literally, like, I have to be getting killed. Like, something has to be happening drastically for that to be going down. I don't know if it was chains, rings, or whatever. But to have these people in your house and them to make off with that type of jewelry is insane. But just then again, it's like
so,
you
so
said,
you're saying he has a flip phone.
Who knows? You know, at the end of the day, I mean, it's like I'm saying, it has to be something very. I mean, where's the ring being kept at? That all this other jewelry, diamonds, flooded, whatever it had to been. Not
it was on
kept
the counter.
Possibly, but Jason, your thoughts? Because this is your guy. He's part of the Heaters or Heatles. Your thoughts on Bosch getting jacked at his own crib?
I just really feel that it's just a bad break. I mean, I don't know how many people were actually on the guest list or whatnot and how many of those people that he actually invited were a plus one or whatever. So, I mean, it's just a bad break. And he's been going through a couple of bad breaks and moving to Miami and everything. But, I mean, it's worked out. I mean, everyone's always trying to hate on him and what he does off the court and everything. But he's one of the most well-liked guys really around the NBA. And just based off of what everyone...
Hell yeah, he's like, he leaves his jewelry all over the place.
What was that?
Hell yeah, he's like, he leaves his jewelry all over the place. I like him too.
But they didn't take the most important one, though, and he's going for number two this year. So, I mean, you can hate on him all you want, but he gets it done on the court, and he's consistent. And, you know, he's one of those guys who can be a team player, and he's not all worried about I. And at the end of the day, you can take my watch, you can take my Rolex, you can take my earrings, but I still got that championship ring.
But that's not the topic.
Right, but I already said that, you know, it was just a bad break, really. I mean, what else? I mean, yeah, he should have had it locked up. Obviously, I'm sure we can all agree right now that he should have had it somewhere safer where that couldn't happen, but he didn't. I mean, it's just a bad break. I mean, not a smart move on his part, but, I mean, what else can you say about it?
Okay, I'm going to get one more comment before we get away from this one. I'm going to get to both of you. Serious, I'm going to come to you next. Your thoughts on Chris Bosh and getting jacked at his own crib for almost $500,000 worth of jewelry? I mean, you got to look at it like that.
You know, man, it's very unfortunate that, you know, the people who you have in your camp, you know, don't respect you enough to, you know, respect your things. You know, I understand what the man was talking about. You know, there's some things called a safe, there's some things called, you know, locking team, this, that, the third, but, you know what I'm saying? This isn't this man's home. I got some priceless stuff that I have in my house, you know, that I should not have to keep unlocked and key. You know, if I'm bringing, you know, some friends over, some couple over, and they can't keep their hands off my stuff, then you really have to reevaluate who your people are. You know, it's very unfortunate, you know, the fact that, you know, he has some type of off-the-field issue, off-the-floor issue with, you know, some baby mama drama is relevant to this particular situation. You know, drama does seem to find Chris Bosh wherever he goes. But, you know, the fact that, you know, somebody in his camp, you know, decided to make out with, you know, some jewelry, that's unfortunate, man.
With Jordan, I'm going to say it like this, in serious. I don't know if you're partying or whatever, but I hope you make a home safe or whatever. But Jordan, let me say it to you like this. you are now in the state of Florida, so you better watch yourself because one, First 48 goes down there, and two, they're jacking stars up. And one thing I'm thinking is, if Chris Bosh is this big of a celebrity, well, he is, I can't say if, he is this big of a celebrity, wouldn't you be living on Star Island? Like, they regulate people on who comes in and out of Star Island. Like, but, hey, stranger things could happen. He may be living in the regular population like everybody else. But to get robbed of, you know, he's $160,000 away from $500,000, just to watch this or hear about this walking out of the door. And like it was said before with JC, I think more or less he better have insurance on that jewelry, because if not, that's going to be a horrible loss. But your thoughts on Chris Bosh and the unfortunate situation that happened at his own birthday party?
No, it's just like Sirius was just saying, it's disrespectful to walk into someone's house who invited you into their home for their birthday, and you walk out with a bunch of his stuff. That's just disrespectful on his part. If you're going to have people over, you got to lock and key everything, because you don't really know anybody until something like this goes down. And this happening just a few days after Jimmy Butler took his manhood, and like you said, he's going through all this and that. It's just unfortunate for him. You got to watch your materials, especially with the amount of people you can imagine were at his house. As you said, a celebrity birthday party. There's probably people drinking, and you got to watch your stuff. Lock it up next time. I'm sure a lesson well learned by Chris Bosh.
Okay, I do have a message from JC. He wanted to still throw a statement or comment toward the Bosh issue.
You know, on a real note, though, even though Miami's a terrible sports town, there are athletes in Miami getting targeted. There always has been. And it's something that if you're an athlete in the Miami area, you definitely have to watch out for. Just, you know, remember the Sean Taylor situation. You know, there was other situations before Sean Taylor, some members of the Dolphins that were targeted in the past. You know, so be careful where you're hanging out in Miami. As fun of a place as it is, as bad of a sports town as it is, you know, those people are coming after you.
Okay, but you're saying hanging out, the dude was home. No way. I don't know where else to be. I don't know where else to be.
Ty, what do you always say, though? You always say tell a friend to tell a friend, right?
Right.
Okay,
true.
So
it's
he
like,
tells a friend who tells the wrong friend, and guess what? He's got the wrong guy coming in his house.
Listen, that has to be regulated. Matter of fact, I'm not, okay, you know, to the point where this is how I have to look at it. Let's just say he makes over, what, $8 million a year. He has to have a $1 million house down there or somewhere over a couple hundred thousand. Let's just say, right? He has to have an area secluded to where the party is being held at. If there's camels and it's a Moroccan-themed party, they're outdoors, right? There is no way that these people are getting to either my master bedroom or where the, you know, all my sport paraphernalia may be, whether it's the championship ring or what he did in that 1 year at Georgia Tech, and his jersey could have been, like, they're not getting there. Like, I have to have two bouncers sitting there, and I'm paying the bouncer, and he makes that type of money. I'm giving him $1,500 to sit at the door. Like, he makes that type of money. How are they running around scrambling through this house, rummaging and making off of $340,000? They could sit on that, and this is me looking at it in the eyes of a thief, you know. They can sit on that jewelry for the next 2 or 3 years. Don't even let that thing hit the surface. Go somewhere to, like, England or Iceland and just send it to a pawn shop. Get that money. Like, he has to think like this. He's not a 21-year-old athlete. He's been in the league for quite some time now. You have to think smarter. Plus, it's like you said, the area of Miami where First 48 films every Thursday. You know what I mean? Like, you have to think. You're in a city of criminals. You're just letting anybody in there? I can just imagine what people he let in there. But I know if it was just us going down there, we'd probably have a hard time getting in there. If that's the case, then shoot. Not to say that I wanted to do that, but then we all need to go to Chris Bosh's house and make off of $300,000-something. That's just ludicrous for him.
Yeah, but how many parties have you been at in your life where you've been like, how the hell, what are these people doing here? You know what I mean? You don't have to point anybody out, but it's just like, how the hell are they letting this person in this house, because you know it's either he's either disrespectful or a thief or just a straight-up jerk, whatever the case may be. There's always parties in situations like that. It's going to escalate the higher profile you get. Somebody's going to say, I'm going to Chris Bosh's house tonight. I could bring somebody. Guess what? Light bulb goes off. Could be an easy payday. It might be a guy that never was a criminal before, and he said, damn, I got some hard times. This diamond just staring me in the face. Damn, let me just put that in my pocket because this guy's an idiot.
I mean, I have been at parties like that where I don't even know how to say, like, they've been more or less magnified to being the problem people. And then come to find out, they do end up being the ones stirring up a fight or getting caught in the act of trying to steal something because, like, the people that I'm around are keen to it. And they know they can feel that vibe if we're in a house party or something like that where you can just feel shady people around. But for him to be to that magnitude, to the standard that Chris Bosh is, he's a celebrity, a big-time celebrity, one of the, I want to say, top 20 players in the NBA. You got to think that people are going to be after you, whether they're being kind or not. You got to, you know, tighten that circle up somehow, some way. I mean, this is a topic I wanted to get out of the way because it just stunned me. I mean, this is almost to the capacity of the early 2000s when Stephon Marbury got robbed in Coney Island at his own, you know, at a stoplight in his own neighborhood. I mean, this stuff happens,
you gotta
take better care of yourself. Let me get away from that because we go on and on about scenarios and this, that, or the third, or people that we bumped into or having things happen in that nature. Now, I might as well let JC get his rocks off because this is the story right now in the Eastern Conference. And I do have a lot of Eastern Conference topics that I want to get to today. But the more prevalent topic to get to is the Knicks tape. You know, that's what a lot of my homies out here call it. They call it the Knicks tape. And that's the streak that these guys are on. They got a 10-game winning streak. Now, the crazy part about this is that they are getting stung by the injury bug like crazy. They just actually watched Kenyon Martin go down also. They are trying to work Tyson Chandler back into the lineup. He said that he doesn't feel like he can still give them a solid go, and they're still doing it. You got to give the Knicks their credit right now. Carmelo went for 52 games ago, and then last night he went for 40. He scored 90 points in the last two games. This boy is scorching, but the game up against the Heat, there was no LeBron, there was no Wade, and there was no Chalmers. So, some of that, I don't want to say there's an asterisk or a question mark. I got to give him credit because he still has to put the ball in the cup at the end of the day. But I think it would have been much tougher if he had to worry about number 6 and number 3 on the floor. But, JC, you will be going last, and I will save JG. I'll save Jason also. But, Jordan, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on Carmelo and the streak that the Knicks are on at this time right now.
Man, Melo being Melo. I mean, this dude is just scoring at will. And I don't think it's an asterisk against the Heat because he was shooting nothing but jump shots and they were just draining the net. I mean, Melo was shooting the ball incredibly. Carmelo Anthony is taking over right now. I think his Syracuse blood is flowing. He sees the orange in the Final Four. And he's playing the best ball he's played all season. Melo knows that if the Knicks don't make it out of the first round, there's going to be big-time trouble in New York. And he's about to make sure that they make it out. I mean, dude is just incredibly hot right now.
And this is why I say this, and I'm going to come to you next series. This is the reason why I say this. It would have been different. This is why I put the asterisk or question mark. I don't really want to do that. But this is why I say that. He'd have to be exerting energy on the defensive side of the ball. That's why I say that. LeBron is no little punk. That dude is 6'8", 270. And we're being nice with the weight, and like he runs like a deer. So he's going to be running and trying to defend and picking up fouls and showing that frustration. You know Carmelo gets into it with the refs all the time. I can't even think of one game where Carmelo doesn't look at the ref funny and then not speak on behalf of the call. So That comes into play. I'm wondering if he can continue that in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And not to say that if they don't make it out of the first round, because to be honest, they have far too many injuries that you have to be concerned with. It's really just him, J.R. Smith, and Felton at times. But I'm going to come to you next series. Your thoughts on the Knicks and how they're balling in the past two games that Carmelo has put up.
You know, nobody, you know, has downplayed Melo's ability to score the basketball. You know, I mean, I've been on this show, and, you know, me and Jay have gone back and forth about how relevant the Knicks are going to become postseason competition. And I do not back down from that statement. However, you know, the man is balling right now. I mean, this dude scored a total of 95 points in two games, you know, playing against the Heater. You know, I understand you ain't got LeBron, you ain't got Dwayne Wade, you ain't got Chalmers. You know, this Heat team is still capable of, you know, running off wins even without those three guys. So, I think right now that the Knicks are streaking, you know, and I give them their credit. I still think they're going to be an early exit in the playoffs. You know, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But as of right now, the Knicks are playing some great ball, man. I have to give them their credit.
So, not only do you think they won't make the second seed, but you think they'll be an early exit also. So,
yeah, I mean, again, I've said that on this show for the past 2.5 to 3 weeks, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not buying this New York Knicks squad. I'm not doing it, you know what I'm saying? They're going to run into a squad that doesn't give a F, you know, who has a cat who isn't, you know, will get up in Melo's face and force Melo, you know, to play uncomfortably. And if you take the ball out of number 7's hands, they don't have anybody else on the floor healthy that's going to beat you on a consistent basis. I mean, you get J.R. Smith.
You don't believe
the
J.R.? Wait, what about J.R.?
Hold on. I mean, you get J.R. that'll go off for a night. You know what I'm saying? But in a 7-game series, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all.
Okay, wait. J.R. had 3 straight games for 30-point games. He is the dropping dude. That is one thing you have to be.
The thing is, Melo didn't play those games either. He had the ball the whole damn time. This is one basketball.
Okay. It's time to get to the fireworks now. Now, I don't know if I want to go. Do I say the best for last, or do I get to the guy that I know is probably steaming right now?
Well, bring him in here. You know how we do. Let's go to work.
Okay, well, Mr. Status Radio himself, JC, I know you're loving this Knicks tape. I know you've been going bonkers. You started the show up playing Go New York, Go New York, Go. I remember the aura of everybody out here that loved when the Knicks got to the final that year up against Houston, and I know Sirius loves every last bit of that. But your thoughts on your Knicks, and do you agree with them that it's just Melo or bust right now due to all of the injuries that are on the Knicks roster?
The Melo or bust theory is ridiculous. The 50-point game the other night against Miami, I refuse to get too crazy about considering the situation. But that is a Heat team that went into San Antonio and beat the top seed in the West without LeBron, without Chalmers, and without Wade. Now, what was interesting to me about the game in Miami is we haven't seen the Knicks play together like this since November, December. And that Knicks team wanted Melo to send a statement and get the 50 points. They wanted Melo to do what he did that night because they recognized he was on fire. They recognized how incredible that performance was. I mean, no baskets within 8 feet of the hoop? That's ridiculous. So, but the win streak would not be where it is without J.R. Smith. The win streak would not be where it is without Raymond Felton. The win streak would not be where it is, and do not discount what Kenyon Martin has brought to this team. The win streak would not be where it is without those players. And to say it's Melo or bust is just a ridiculous, ignorant statement. Tyson Chandler is going to work his way back into the mix, and when he does, he's going to be an important part of the team. But did I not say that the Knicks would be fine without Tyson for a while? I believe I did. Did I not say that the Knicks would find their way through and make it to the two seed? They're not there yet because of Indiana. They won't go away, the pesky bastards. Did I not say that Brooklyn had no shot of winning the division? Look at them now. Now, as for them going out early in the playoffs, listen, you're not going to have to talk any junk to me if that happens, because I will light this place up more than you ever seen in your life. If the Knicks go out in the first round, if you thought you've heard epic in the past, you haven't heard nothing yet. Now, where the Knicks go from here, they have to get healthy. You know, Kenyon Martin's going to be all right. He got injured last night. Woodson said today that he's fine. He can play. He'll play tomorrow. You know, the interesting game to me is Sunday at Oklahoma City. I don't expect the Knicks to win that game. To be totally fair, tomorrow night they play Milwaukee. They better win that game. I do not expect them to win Sunday. You see what Oklahoma City's trying to do to San Antonio tonight. Oklahoma City's trying to turn a corner, and I'm sure we'll get to them later at some point, but they're trying to turn the corner and get themselves up to that one spot. You know, the Knicks are doing the correct thing. The Knicks are playing ball like they played November, December. The Knicks are hitting their threes. The Knicks are keeping Steve Novak off the court. The Knicks are keeping Flight White away from the damn court. They're letting Copeland play. This is the team that we saw in November and December. And if you're ignorant to the fact how well this team is playing right now and how well they played at the beginning of the season and how they're actually winning their games, not what you see on ESPN, actually looking into how they win their games, then you might just change your mind a little bit and get on board with what I've been telling you for the last 6 months.
Well, seriously, you want a rebuttal, or do I go to Jason?
I can definitely rebuttal all of that. You know, my man, he's a Knicks fan. I respect that. You know, however, this whole concept of, you know, the streak is where it is because of J.R. Smith and this, that, and the third, I'll give him that. J.R. Smith carried the Knicks while Carmelo was hurt. You know, but this whole philosophy that, you know, the Knicks are back to what they used to play back in November, December, I'm not too sure I'll buy that, my good man. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. You're winning games, okay? But you don't have Tyson Chandler on the floor like you had back in November, December, okay? The whole nucleus of your squad, it's not there. You're winning your ball games. I give you credit for that. Bravo. You know what I'm saying? You're doing what you're supposed to be doing right now, okay? And your whole bit about, you know, I said I'm going to be a 2-seed, but I'm not right now because Indiana's in the way, kind of contradicted yourself. But that's another conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't say that, first of all. So are you going to make a point tonight?
That's what you said. That's exactly
that's
what
not
you
what
said.
I said. Rewind the tape. That's not what I said.
That's what you said.
Get your facts straight before you speak.
Hold on a second, my man. You exactly said, you know what, we will be a 2-seed if some pesky Indiana Pacers will get out the way, which means you're not a 2-seed. Let's do math, ladies and gentlemen. You want to get crazy, you just said that you want to be a 2-seed, but you're not because Indiana's in the way. That's exactly what
that's
you said.
That's not what I said. Go listen to the tape.
Look at the standings right now.
Number two, New York, 48.6. Number three, Indiana, 48.27.
What are you talking about? You still haven't made a point.
You haven't made a point in a month. You haven't made a point in a month.
You haven't made a point in a month. I told you. I shut him down.
I'm shutting you down right now.
You ain't shutting nobody down, dude. You're just pissed off that I'm proving your ass wrong on public radio on your own fucking. fucking station, okay? No, sit there and get crunky and crazy. You just fucked your whole stuff up by saying that we wish that that when the fans stop right now with the because of the Indiana Pacers, okay? You're gonna get bounced in the first round. Live with it. Come on the stroll. Throw your temper tantrum. You know, do your whole pom pom thing. Do whatever the fuck you're gonna do. Cry like a little girl, whatever it gets may be, and let's move on. The point of the matter is this: the Knicks are not what everybody craps them up to be. Point blank.
You still haven't made a point.
You're just mad because I'm proving your ass wrong. You're just mad because I'm proving your ass wrong. You're just mad because I'm proving your ass wrong. You got some shit to say. We can talk man to man. But if you want to get loud and crazy, we can do that too. It's up to you, playboy.
Thank you. I am pretty.
Okay, I guess I get what I asked for. So Jason, you're on top of the situation in the Eastern Conference, and unfortunately, the Knicks actually got the better of you, even though Spoelstra, you know, rested his guys. I mean, how far do you look into this with the Knicks rolling right now? The last time that they had this type of streak go on with this team, they actually went to the NBA Finals in 94. So this is something that is it should be a concern for some teams in the Eastern Conference, which I'm going to admit this. I'm going to admit this right now. I've been talking a lot of junk about the Eastern Conference and how basketball has been played in the Eastern Conference. But getting closer to the playoffs, there are a lot of interesting teams going into the playoffs in the Eastern Conference right now, including all of the matchups of how 1, 8, 2, 7, 3, 6, and 4, 5 are all going to – it can end up panning out or teams move their feet and so on and so forth, but it is looking interesting in the Eastern Conference. And with that being said, I mean, is this a situation that you look at this, Jason, more or less that you guys have been on a 27-game winning streak, these guys are on a 10-game winning streak, and, I mean, they can end up falling and coming back to earth, or is this a situation where the Knicks can end up striding all the way toward the playoffs and, you know, carry this mystique, you know, past the first, second, and possibly Eastern Conference situation?
The Knicks are definitely playing very good basketball, if not the best basketball that they've played all year, you know, going back to the beginning of the season. And really, I think it's just a case of that they're just clicking on all cylinders. I mean, I know they have guys in and out of lineup a lot, but, I mean, it's kind of just showing the level of team chemistry that they have for them to be able to still be reeling off the wins that they've been getting. And, you know, like JC was saying, you know, if you actually watch the games and whatnot, how the games actually go throughout the game, they're in a good flow right now and everyone seems comfortable. And I don't really think there's a whole Melo theory, but, I mean, when you get to the playoffs, the Knicks are only going to go as far as Melo takes them. I mean, right now in the regular season on a night-to-night basis going against different opponents, I mean, they have the talent and the chemistry to, you know, pull wins off here and there with Tyson missing and Melo missing games. But in the playoffs, I mean, they're only going to go as far as Melo takes them. But I don't see them getting knocked out in the first round. I see them winning the first round because I feel that they will lock up that two spot. I mean, if you compare the schedules between the Knicks and the Pacers, the Knicks have a little bit of an easier of a schedule. So I think the Knicks will lock up the two seed. And then, I mean, really, more likely than not, play Boston. And I think they match up real well against Boston. So I don't really see them getting knocked out in the first round. I mean, really, I want to say they're going to be in the Eastern Finals playing against Miami, but something just doesn't want me to say that. Yeah, I don't know what it is, if it's just the consistency with Chandler, if he can just stay in the lineup, and really just the whole health issues. If they can get healthy going in the playoffs, they're definitely going to be a team to, you know, be reckoned with or whatever. But, I mean, 10's cute, but got to go with the Heat, man. No one's going to be able to get past them.
You are funny. 10 is cute. Oh, that is funny. Look, Heat fans, I'll tell you, you knock 10 wins in a row. This is the NBA. This isn't college. He said 10 is cute. Wow. Look, you are tough. That's tough. That is what I call a slap in the face. Like I'm going to sit here and give the Knicks credit. I have to give them credit because at the end of the day, they're in the Eastern Conference where I want to say that the parity is there, regardless of how I dismantle them and say the stronger conference is the Western Conference, which I still stand by. But now that we're getting close to April, it's getting interesting. And the Knicks are peaking without a lot of their pieces there. And there's been talks of Amari coming back soon. When Amari comes back, that's going to get interesting. And they're saying Rasheed Wallace is actually possibly expected back in a month. So if the Knicks do get out of the first round and Sheed is looking like he's moving well enough, I'm not going to just say, you know, Sheed of 2004, because let's be real, Rasheed is, what, 37 years old. You're not going to get that. But when Sheed was a part of that roster, there was threats all over the floor that you had to worry about. And now that they got Copeland back on the floor, this is who I've been asking. I wanted to see, because when Carmelo was out earlier, Copeland was the one putting up 27-point nights. So if they can get that, Woodson is sitting on a gold mine right now. This could be one of the teams that I think could actually mess with the Heat. I'm not just going to outright say that they can beat the Heat, but there's about two or three teams that I could think of right now that can give the Heat problems in a series. But they have to play consistent basketball. That's the Knicks, the Pacers, and depending on if the Bulls could get Rose back, I don't buy them without Rose. Like, I love their defensive effort, but they need offensive presence. And there was a scare tonight out there in Brooklyn. Let me tell you, like, if Brooklyn almost pulled that game out also. So unless the Bulls can put together some stronger offense, I mean, then I could put them in that discussion. But at least two teams right now that could actually give these guys fits. Now, let me get away from this Eastern Conference drama, because I'm telling you, I can still feel it in the air somehow. Now, I do want to talk about I don't know if you guys want to call this idiotic, or do you think he's reaching? I don't know if I'm saying the right thing and saying idiotic. If I'm saying the wrong thing, please forgive me. But Mark Cuban makes a statement and said that he would actually draft Brittany Griner. Now, not only did he say it, but Shane Battier said the NBA will have a female player soon in the NBA. Now, they already have the WNBA. It's like, why would they need a female in the NBA when they already have a league set for ladies to play? Now, I don't know why Mark Cuban would go out there and reach and say that he would pick up Brittany Griner, because let's be real, she plays a big girl role. She would be 6'8 in the NBA and probably be a small forward, and she wouldn't be out on the wing playing ball. Like, does anybody respect this? It's more or less of a situation to me where Mark Cuban is used to drafting players that are soft and trying to mold them into something better than what they are. Like, let's be real, Dirk Nowitzki is probably one of the best jump shooters in the league right now, but he's scared to bang. Like, you'll have Brittany down there banging with the legs if you want to put her at the four or the five. I mean, I think she would get tortured. That's just me. There's dudes in the league that are tall. Just picture her in the paint with Dwight. And not to just say, oh, all she had to do is foul him, but it's going to be that time when Dwight does this spin move, dunks on him like three times in a row. Her feeling could get hurt. Like, why would people go out here and make this statement right now, including Mark Cuban and Shane Battier? It's questionable that these two would throw that out there about Brittany Griner at this point. And Gino Auriemma has actually come out there and spoke on the behalf of being against the Brittany Griner going into the NBA, excuse me, because I definitely think she'll go to the WNBA. But do you think they will get a lady in the league series? I'll come to you first.
You know, I honestly can't believe that we're even entertaining this idea, gentlemen. You know, I mean, women, you know, they have equality, they have equal rights and this, that, and the third, but I don't see a female playing in the NBA. The whole reason why the WNBA was created was for, you know, people like Brittany Griner and the Shamiko Holzlaws and the, you know, the Cheryl Swoops of the world and, you know, Rebecca Lobos, and I'm just naming all sorts of, you know, female basketball greats. Michelle Tung, when she played with the Phoenix Mercury, you know, Cynthia Cooper, when she played with the Houston Comets and whatnot. You know what I mean? Those type of females who did work in the college level, you know, who didn't really have a place to shine after they graduated from college and was forced to, you know, do different things, but they also wanted to play ball. So the WNBA was created, you know, for that. I don't think there will ever come a time where you see, you know, an NBA female basketball player. You know, we just crossed over to where we have female referees officiating games, and a couple years before that, we even crossed over to have female reporters you know, analyze the game like that. You know, we've come a long way. I just don't think that we are ever going to see a female NBA ball player. And for Mark Cuban to open his mouth and say something like that, you know, in this day and age just proves to me what type of idiot Mark Cuban clearly still is. For him to open his mouth and to spew that type of nonsense is just retarded.
Okay, should I end it there? I mean, and not to say, you know, anything sexist toward the ladies, because I definitely respect women's basketball, but I just don't think it'll get that far today.
Let me ask you a question. Forget about the elite players. Can she cover a Mike Miller?
No, because she's too slow for Mike Miller. And Mike Miller's slow. At that, Mike Miller's slow, and I think she's too slow to cover Mike Miller.
So I think that shuts it down right there, you know?
The problem is she weighs about 190 pounds. I mean, she's going to be the – you got guys like Carlos Boozer and stuff like that who are up in the 270s, 280s. She would just get bullied. If a female was to play in the NBA, I think it would have to be at the guard position. And I mean, you never know, but as a spot-up shooter or something like that, it's not going to be someone like Brittany Griner. Although I do think – that if you put her up against Chris Bosh or Pau Gasol, she could do some damage. Just because those two.
Somebody else said that. I was gonna get that to wrap it up. Like somebody said that she may be suffering from Pau and Chris Bosh, and that's just rough. Like people
combined.
Need to stop.
them two combined, man.
Stop. You guys are rough. Okay, so. So I want to know how you guys feel about, you know, I'm going to actually spoon feed Mr. Grissom here. The Bulls' chances of making it far in this playoff now, they are the team that stopped the Heat. Let me give them that. They were at home, though. I do want to give them that. And LeBron actually griped about the calls and this, that, and so forth. They have great defense. Do you think they could get an offensive lift from anywhere within this roster? Jordan, I will go to you first. Now, Butler stepped up and played some good ball. I don't like to say this, but I got to give him his credit. Kurt Heinrich and Nate have stepped up to the call without Rip being on the floor. And with Derrick Rose being out, they have actually done their best to the best of their ability to help that backcourt out. I mean, what does it take for your boys to stay relevant in playoff talk?
Well, I'm going to start with this. Kirk Heinrich lives on the injury. Or not Kirk Heinrich, I'm sorry. Richard Hamilton. I refuse to call him Rip anymore. Richard Hamilton lives on the injury list. So I don't even expect him to play anymore. When he does play, it's a pleasant surprise when we can get some production out of him. But nobody in the East, 1 through 8, wants to see the Bulls. No team in the Eastern Conference, including Big Bad Miami, wants to see the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls will win their first-round matchup. I'm hoping it's against Brooklyn. They will win their first-round matchup, and they are danger for any team in the second round. And I will say this, I've said it before, if we get Derrick Rose back, they have a great chance of making it to the NBA Finals. Right now, we don't have Joe, we don't have Taj, Kirk Heinrich missed some time. This is a team that's been bitten by the injury bug all year and just continues to fight. Nobody wants to see the Bulls in the playoffs at all.
Okay, now you guys are currently at the fifth seed, and it's interesting because you probably can end up jumping Brooklyn, but you guys are beating Brooklyn on their floor today. And also something that you said, too, is in the second round, this could be the possible matchup is that you guys may end up playing the Miami Heat. Now, be careful what you ask for because they will have that home court advantage. And I think if you were to play them, D-Rose has to pop out of somewhere. Like, I don't know. But, JC, your thoughts on this. Do you think that the Bulls are that team to be concerned about all throughout the Eastern Conference? Or do you think that they'll get past Brooklyn and be a second-round knockout?
You know, I'm no idiot, so the top five teams in the East can all beat each other. It's just a matter of can they beat them 4 out of 7. Miami's going to be tough to beat 4 out of 7. It doesn't matter who plays them. Are the Bulls a problem? Yeah, the Bulls are a problem in playoff basketball because they play good defense and they do nothing but play half-court ball. I don't buy into the theory that Derrick Rose is the end-all for this season, considering he hasn't played, considering he doesn't have enough faith in that knee, that even if he does come back to let it all fly, he's going to have to come back and let it fly in order for that team to be different. I would ask the question, do you want him to come back at this point? They're playing so well without him, and that's not to say he's not elite. He's one of the best point guards in the game. But this year, missing, 72 games at this point, whatever the case may be, 74 games, boy, that's rough to plug him back in now. I know he's been practicing for about 6 weeks. But, yeah, I wouldn't put him back in at this point. I couldn't for my team. But, yeah, the Bulls are a threat. The Pacers are a threat. The Nets are less of a threat, but, they can beat anybody any given night. I just don't see the team in the East that's beaten Miami 4 out of 7, no matter how hot or cold they are.
So you're basically saying it will be Miami to win the Eastern Conference?
It's hard to say not right now.
Come on, where's the Knicks in you? Like, what happened?
Hey, I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong.
Smart.
He's a smart man.
But if the Knicks get out of the first round, they made it farther than expected, correct? So, it's all good.
It depends on who you talk to, but yeah, if they get out of the first round, they made it farther than expected.
See?
Okay, so Sirius, your thoughts on it, this possible situation with the Bulls being a threat throughout the Eastern Conference, and do you think this team can actually make a push toward the NBA Finals? Not just the Eastern Conference Finals. That's where I tried to draw the line. We got Mr. Griffin throwing NBA Finals out there, possibly. I'm not going to say that he said that they are
Griffin's
going to
on that. Griffin's on that good. He needs to go ahead and pass on to your boy Sirius, man. I'll be honest with you. I have a hard time thinking that the Bulls will get out of the first round, let alone the second round. I'm going to be honest with you. It depends on who they draw. For example, the Bulls, if they fall down and play Miami, they're early exit. If they end up drawing the Knicks, it's a tough draw. I'm pulling for the Bulls to beat the Knicks because I've done said several times I don't think the Knicks are getting out of the first round. So if my man wants to get out of the first round, he better pray to whomever he prays to that they play the Bulls.
Can I ask a question real quick? I don't want to argue. I just want to ask a question. If the Bulls aren't getting out of the first round, the Knicks aren't getting out of the first round, who the hell in the East is getting out of the first round other than Miami?
Indiana?
And?
You know what? I think Boston has a way I may do it, too.
Oh, my God. Okay. There's one more team, though.
Well, I know. I'm thinking.
If he says that, then he means Brooklyn's getting out of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
I'll be honest with you. I'd rather concede the Bulls pick than,
Oh, we have no doubt about that.
So, anyways, back to the Chicago Bulls, man. I don't know. I think that when it comes best, like my man was talking about, 4 out of 7. I mean, you got hot, beat the Miami Heat. You got them for one game, but in a best of seven series, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Nate Robinson and company is going to be able to handle that. I mean, I understand that D Rose may come back, but. Again, practicing and playing game time speed and game time shape and this, that, and the third are two different things, man.
So Jason, your thoughts on what's been said thus far? How do you feel about your foe, if you will, and the team that stopped that 27-game winning streak, the Chicago Bulls?
The Bulls definitely have the right team, to make a run in the playoffs. As you said before, they play real good. Half-court offense, just keep the game slow at a slower pace without D-Rose out there. and, you know, clearly one of the better defensive teams in the league. So in the playoffs, that's, you know, it's the recipe of a team that you would rather not face. But at the same time, with Rose being out, I mean, I just feel they don't have enough firepower to last in a playoff series for 7 games. They might be able to squeak it out in the first round, maybe, depending on who they draw. But if they get out of the first round, I don't see them get out of the second round. And I really, you know, if you're a Bulls fan, I wouldn't really hang my hat on, you know, if D. Rose comes back this year, because that's a big if. I mean, you don't even know. And if you're going in the playoffs, you just got to, I mean, you don't want to have any ifs going in the playoffs. And if D. Rose hasn't suited up yet, you know, you're never going to know how he's going to come out. And you don't want him coming out for the first time in the playoffs because, you know, as I said on Tuesday, playoffs, that's when you don't want to be kicking off the rust because by then it could be too late. But they're definitely a team that can make some noise. But as far as making a deep run in the playoffs, I just don't see it.
And that's actually something that John Wall has stated about. He said if it were him, if he were Derrick Rose, he would basically sit out the remainder of the season and just, you know, see how much the Bulls can do without him. But, I mean, the
John
time
Wall
is now.
Out of playoff time anyway.
Say that again?
John Wall is out of playoff time anyway. What the hell does he know?
Right. You do have a legit point. I'm just saying that, you know, basically if it were him, that's what he's saying, that he would actually sit out and rest himself. But you do have a point. But
I don't know. Me
personally, that the reason why I say the time is now is that they have Joakim Noah playing at the best of his ability. This is an all-star season. Boozer is actually scoring the ball. I mean, last year when this was happening before Derrick Rose's injury, they weren't getting that much effort out of Carlos Boozer. Now they're getting scoring effort out of this guy. He's putting up those 24-point nights. If he can consistently get you double-doubles and you got Joakim Noah down there trying to dominate the boards too, that's a problem for any team down there if they can actually get Derrick Rose to be a part of the situation. But I don't want to look at it more or less being, oh, Derrick Rose or Buzzer. Derrick Rose is supposed to be there because, you know, they go out there as a team regardless. Tibbs has one of the best defensive systems that I've seen in quite some time. But
Do not sleep on Nate the Great Robinson. He comes through in the big moments. If you look at him this year, he is not Nate Robinson of past years. He has actually started a few games at point guard, got double-digit assists. He's taking smart shots. He's playing within the system. He's playing a little bit of defense. What you haven't seen much.
Trust Nate Robinson? Am I hearing that right?
Nate the Great Robinson, don't get it wrong. He's 5'9", but he plays at 6'6". I mean, the dude is balling this year.
He plays big, but I also seen the dude get shell shot come playoff time before, too, so we'll see what happens.
Like I said, I'm not worried about it. We're going to get Joe back. We're going to get Taj back. And those are the guys I'm a lot more worried about getting back than Derrick Rose right now, because you don't know with Derrick Rose. But with Taj Gibson and Joakim Noah and the rest of this group playing like they are, I have no doubts that Chicago makes it out of the first round. 2-1 against the Heat this year. 3-0 against the New York Knicks this year. I've seen them go into Brooklyn twice, once win and once lose narrowly. And the first time, we didn't have Boozer or Joakim Noah. This is a team that fights every night, and they will be in the second round of the playoffs. Mark it down.
You know what? I take you on that. Beat the Knicks for me, please. I may have to drive to Ohio and buy you some chicken or some shit for that one.
That was a good one. I like that.
Do I got to wear a Cincinnati Bengals t-shirt for you, too? Go ahead and beat the Knicks for me. Beat the Knicks for us right there.
You wouldn't do that in public.
I'm not going to say that. You can do that when my boys beat your guys twice this year, but this is a basketball show, so we'll keep it at basketball.
Okay, so let me get into a topic that you guys know that I basically can't get away from, because I consistently talk about these guys almost every show. They're going to remain relevant until I guess they're out of the way. And that is the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, One, I want to know if you guys think that Dwight stays or goes. There's actually been talks in the camp that Dwight is interested on leaving L.A. at the end of the season. But Mitch Kupchak is saying Dwight isn't going anywhere. And these guys are, you know, still having their injury issues. Steve Nash walking off the floor, and they're back to the same situation of the same backcourt with Blake, Duhon, and Morris at the end of the day. So, I mean, when will we get past the soap opera? I know it's me. I know I'm the one that consistently brings this topic up. But one, Dwight, and his soap opera, if he stays or goes, and the teams that he's actually mentioned within the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference also. And two, with the Lakers' injuries. And three, Kobe coming out and speaking on behalf of him sticking to his guns of him actually retiring at the end of next season. Are you buying or selling that? Now, me personally, all that Kobe's been through, he's been here since 96. This is his 17th season. It's unreal to even think like that. I still can remember that year, 96, where he was in Utah, and he shot those four air balls. Like, and then he turned out to be the monster that he is now. And 17 years later, we're at this standpoint. And they're trying to build an all-star team around him. Wrong coach, you know. The dilemma between him and his center, once again, it seems like him and Shaq all over. It's something about him and Superman. I guess he just don't like the character Superman. Who knows? But I think he's basically said he's at his wit's end with this team, and basically at the end of the season, he basically wants to talk to his family, see if it's a go after this upcoming season, and he's going to wrap it up. But there's a lot of interesting moves that could be made within this Lakers organization. So with that being said, I am going to come to you first, JC. Your thoughts on this Lakers team. Do you think Dwight stays or goes, and all of the other issues that they have to answer to coming toward the finale of this season?
Another damn Dwightmare. I can't take him anymore. You know, what I'm going to do after the show is I'm going to record a Lakers take, and whenever you ask a Lakers question, I'm going to press play. Because it's the same thing every week, every show. If they do this, blah, blah, blah. If they do that, blah, blah, blah. Let's make it interesting. The Orlando Magic are $28 million under the cap next year. Dwight Howard's a free agent. How ridiculous does that sound?
So you think he's going to go back to Orlando?
Not even in the least. It just sounds interesting. You know, Dwight Howard is an idiot. You know, as a matter of fact, if Dwight Howard got invited to Chris Bosh's house, Dwight Howard would get his jewelry stolen.
Wow.
But, you know, listen, where does Dwight Howard go? You know Dallas will be in the mix. You know the Lakers want him back. You know Brooklyn will somehow get back in the mix, do a sign-and-trade, Brook Lopez, who can't get no love, even though he's one of the top five centers in the game. I don't care anymore. I don't care about Dwight Howard. I don't care about the Lakers. You know, listen, I think the Rockets are going to go farther than the Lakers. Five games to four. But, you know, just saying. I'm just sick of the Lakers. I'm sick of Antoni. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be a pain in the neck for a game or two. Kobe's going to score 80. But Dwight Howard, just enough. Can he please go somewhere and be quiet and just be athletic and do what he does, which isn't much, but just do what he does. And just get out of our lives and get out of the kitchen already. Just enough.
Okay, seriously, they are nipping at your Rockets. I mean, do they actually catch you guys in the Western Conference or what? I mean, you're throwing...
No, they're not.
Well, they're three games back. Give them a shot.
Seven games left.
It's possible, but highly doubtful, you know. I mean, I do think they managed to get past the Utah Jazz and secure the AC. But again, I mean, I very seldom agree with my man. But yeah, I'm sick and tired of talking about the Knicks. We ain't got a Knicks fan in the building. You know, I'm really ain't trying to talk about New York, not the Knicks, the Lakers. Damn, you see, man, everything in the Knicks right now. Lakers.
Wow, you really, yo, JC, you've done your job, JC.
But man, I got me thinking Knicks basketball right now. JC, I hate the freaking guts right now. I'm talking Knicks basketball. Ain't nobody worried about the Lakers.
My man, let's go. Knicks basketball, love it.
Next question. I ain't talking about no Lakers no more. I'm done with the Lakers.
You are not. I tell you, man. Okay, so did anybody want to talk about this Lakers team? Because personally, this, as much as I don't want to pump Sirius's head up, if McHale can make it happen, the one team that he said he is interested in going to still is the Houston Rockets. And him and the beard together, I think, would be a problem. That is if the Lakers let him go. And he does his market right and ends up in Texas. And plus, what would be better with Kevin McHale working on post moves with Dwight, which we all could agree Dwight doesn't have a post move in his arsenal. McHale was one of the kings.
Not to mention you have Olajuwon at his disposal if he went to Houston as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Yes.
I apologize. Durant just dunked on Danny Green.
Yeah, I saw that. That was nasty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to the original program. This is what I don't like about the NBA. They really try to keep scheduling games while I'm in the kitchen. Cut it out. Enough of this. Anyway, back to this Lakers stuff. Okay, I'm getting away from this Lakers stuff. I got you. But it's like I said, at the end of the day, I do like the Houston move. If he can end up in Houston, down there with Jimmy Beard and company, if they could get more core players. The one person I am worried about on that Houston team, and I feel sorry for the Rockets for inking him for so much money, is Jeremy Lin. If Jeremy Lin can't play consistent basketball, y'all just wasted y'all time and money on signing that guy. I told y'all that
an hour after we signed him.
As much hype as he had in New York, and I thought he was going to really stay with the Knicks and do something, then he ended up tweaking his leg or whatever, and then he just wants to leave immediately.
He was in New York. They're not going to come out of New York for pizza.
Wow.
Sounds like the Knicks got serious again.
We're calling the Knicks 780-9592. You know, we have a good spirit. Debate, if you will, Now, going back to the Eastern Conference, and Jason, I'm going to come to you first. I want to see how you feel about this team in the Eastern Conference and you know, the problems and pros and cons with this team, if you will, and that's the Brooklyn Nets. And I just put, you know, period behind it. Like, you fill in the blank. What are your thoughts on the Brooklyn Nets and being that these guys are more or less a team that's within the hunt of the Eastern Conference, can be a scary team in the playoffs, but the crazy part about it is these teams don't even – I mean, this Brooklyn Nets team don't even have home security. Like, people will go to the Barclays and knock the Nets off easily. Like, the Nets don't even have home court security. They're more or less a team that can actually surprise you and play some great basketball at home or, you know – get beat at home and then go on the road and get blown out on the road or shock you on the road. Your thoughts on this Brooklyn Nets team, Jason?
I don't really think they're consistent enough to be a deep run playoff team. I mean, they got Williams who can go off on any night, but I mean, he's really only given like 17 or 18 a game, and same with Lopez, and we all know Lopez doesn't really do much on the glass, and you know, playoff time, that's where you need the bodies down low to get those extra possessions. But I feel like there may be still a score or two behind, and Joe Johnson, you know, not what he was 3 or 4 years ago when they first got him. Like, it almost took too long for the Nets team, even with them moving to Brooklyn, it almost took them too long to get to where they are now, just as saying, you know, a top five team in the East. even though they're not elite by any means. But just not enough firepower, too much inconsistency, and that's not the team that you want to build for a playoff run.
Okay. Jordan, your thoughts on this this Brooklyn team that you just spoke on how your boys went into Barclays, just like I said, and could go in there and steal one, or they can actually play some strong basketball if they you know, get a good effort out of D-Will and if Marshawn brings it. And, of course, Brooke has actually been the, I want to say, the more consistent person on that roster. But your thoughts on this Brooklyn Nets team?
It's just like everything that was just said. They are so inconsistent. And they got these guys that Joe Johnson and D. Will and Brooke Lopez, who will look like absolute studs for a night and sometimes for even a week, and then all of a sudden, where'd they go? This team is just, I don't know what the problem is. They got the talent. I don't love their bench. Their bench is decent, but I don't think there's enough basketballs on the floor because Joe Johnson's a ball handler, D-Will's a ball handler, Brooke wants the ball. Gerald Wallace's confidence is absolutely dead. It looks like he's afraid to shoot the ball anymore, how much he was missing earlier this year. And I don't know, they're definitely going to make a hard push at Dwight Howard because they need a face of this franchise, and it's just missing right now. Darren Williams can't be the face of a franchise anymore.
Wow.
I don't know if that's an accurate statement, dude, because, I mean, if D-Will gets some legitimate help, and I'm probably jumping the gun here, but, you know, I think D-Will is not a bad dude. Joe Johnson's not a bad dude.
Absolutely,
you know?
Not. I agree with that. They're talented. I don't think they're forefront face of the franchise players, though. D-Will has all the skills in the world. I mean, at one point, he was probably the best point guard in the NBA. And maybe it's just having another dominant ball guard like Joe Johnson. Who knows the problem, but I think they need help if they're going to take that next step. Although I do give them all the props in the world because you got to remember the New Jersey Nets were the laughing stock of the NBA for a few years. And for them to just be where they are, I mean, you got to give them props. They stepped it up this year, and it was a much improved product from New Jersey.
I mean, bringing over, you know, Joe Johnson definitely helped, you know. Bringing over, I think, Gerald Wallace, you know, is another cat who definitely helped. I mean, Stack ain't what he used to be, but he's definitely a wily veteran. He knows what he's doing, you know. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think the move that they made in getting rid of Avery Johnson, I didn't like that. I didn't like that move at all. But that's another conversation.
Okay, so, JC, how do you feel about the best team in New York City?
That's how you tell them.
The Knicks look pretty good right now.
I've already talked about the Knicks.
Oh, well, you said the best team in New York City. Yeah, they had the Brooklyn has the best coach in the world, so we should probably talk about that.
That's why they're the best team in New York City, the Brooklyn Nets. I'm trying to tell you.
Listen, I would differ with the fact that the Nets need a face of the franchise. Look at what the Nuggets are doing. You know, the Nuggets are blowing through people. They don't have that quote-unquote face of the franchise. What they need to do is feature Brooke Lopez a little bit more. Brooke Lopez really is underestimated and undervalued. And he has a better post game than any center in the league right now. And I'm telling you, I don't want to sit here and give the Nets too much credit. But if once the Nets learn to play together, Joe Johnson's been hurt a decent amount of the year. Darren Williams has been hurt a decent amount of the year, even though he's played through a lot of it. He's still been banged up. Yeah, the Nets are a team that has the right pieces. They just need, you know, they legitimately need the proper coach to put it together, all kidding aside. You know, PJ's a good assistant. He's got the team to this point. But the Nets need that coach that can give them that respect factor. I don't think it's players. I think it's organizational. You know, where they've come from New Jersey – to get their status where they're at in Brooklyn, you know, they've come a long way. But they still don't get the respect in New York City. They still don't get respect in New Jersey because they left Jersey. You know, unless the Nets make a big playoff run, it doesn't matter who they have. They can have Dwight Howard. They can have whoever you want to put in there. They're still just going to be the Nets.
Man, they're the best team in New York City.
No. I said Nets, not Knicks. Nets.
You can get that confused. Nets and Knicks, they kind of sound similar.
As far as I'm concerned, the Nets are still New Jersey until they do something. So,
I mean, they made it tough on you early this season, didn't they?
2-2
Okay. So you're 500 up against them. So you can't really talk too much junk about
them. Yeah, but two of those games were against TJ. Damn it.
You really love you some PJ Carlissimo. Now,
was that not the greatest argument of all time when he said how great PJ Carlissimo was? I mean, come on.
You want to know what, JC? I'm going to warn you and Sports City. I have been told by the person that made the statement they will be making a comeback in the Sports City soon, and they have been listening to you rant and rave on him talking about that situation. So you better buckle up when they come back into the kitchen, because believe me, Cricket Soup will be on the shelf.
I hope his comeback isn't like Derrick Rose's. That's all I'm going to say is I hope his isn't like D. Rose's.
That's a pretty good point, you know. So where's he been? Is he in witness protection? Is he, what are we talking about here? When's he coming back? Is he coming back in November when the records are reset? I mean, come on, man.
Ooh,
I don't care if he comes back. Please warn me when he comes back. Email me. Text me. I don't care when he comes back. His opinions are the worst opinions I've ever heard on this channel. And none of you might say that, but you agree with me. You heard the nonsense that he spoke. We make fun of him every week. Please bring him back. Please let me know. As a matter of fact, please, next Thursday, you know who we're talking about. You are the voice of Sports City. You gave yourself the damn nickname. Who gives themselves a nickname? I don't understand what we're talking about right now. He hasn't been on this show in months because he got shut down and made look stupid by not just me, but everybody else that's on here. I don't care if he comes back. Please, I beg you to come back. Please drop some quote-unquote knowledge on our heads. Oh, my goodness. I'm really, really threatened.
Like I said, JC's trying to go ham. I'm trying to tell you that somebody is trying to make a comeback. That's all I'm saying.
So did Jordan. Jordan wasn't so great with the Wizards, was he?
You're right. Jordan was what? He was about 40 years old. He's close to 40 right there.
Well, you know what the difference between Jordan and this guy is? He was never good enough to get on the Wizards.
And Jordan was dropping 21 a game. Let's cut him a little bit of slack. Dropping 21 a game at 40 is no joke.
And there's the Chicago precinct chiming in.
Twenty-one, five, and five at 40 years old.
Hey, listen, I'm not saying he couldn't drop 12 a game now off the bench, but I mean, he still wasn't the same Jordan he was when he was in Chicago. This guy couldn't start for the Clippers if we're talking about talk show hosts back in the 90s. That's how terrible he is.
Wow. You are being rough.
Can you hear me now? Voice, you listen to every show. Can you hear me now? Please, call in. You drop the call-in number on him. Please call in. You're terrible.
Wow.
This is rare from JC. Listen, I don't know what he did. I don't know if he paced around the room, if he wanted to come to this kitchen and start knocking dudes' heads off, but he is not playing around. I'll tell you this right now.
Let me say one more thing, and we can drop it. And if you don't want to call in here, I record all my shows. Please, Wednesday night, 10:05 p.m., you can have as much time as you want to make your illegitimate points. I will let you have the floor, and then I will wipe you up. Have a good night.
Okay.
910-0687. Write it down.
I'll tell you.
Wow. This man dropped his own number.
I'm trying. I'm even trying to get past this. Like, just to put it behind us.
I'm done. You can move on now. Go ahead. Move on.
I know. I'm just giving you fair warning that they have been listening, and the situation may be addressed. So I don't want you to act like you're getting a pop quiz when they may pop up in here and give you some business. That's all I'm saying. Now, the last topic I want to address before we get out of here, Jason, I'm going to come to you. Is your boy getting the rest right now, and that being the Miami Heat, LeBron, Dwayne, and now add Chalmers to the mix, and Ray Allen have all been getting rest. Is this a situation that this actually helps the Heat coming to the final stretch of the regular season and going toward the playoffs, or could they actually show a little bit of rust as they go toward the playoffs? Jason, I'll come to you first.
I think it definitely benefits the Heat anytime that you can take the opportunity and rest up your team, you know, get rid of those nagging injuries that nothing serious but something that's been hanging around for a few days or for a week or so. It just can't get away, won't go away because you keep playing on it. I mean, anytime you can rest up and get your squad to full health before you go into the playoffs, I mean, I don't think any team would say no to that. And, I mean, yeah, there always is the possibility of rust, but at the same time, this team has so many players from top to bottom that just has good chemistry with each other that I feel that they're just going to come in round one, and not saying that they're going to sweep Milwaukee or anything, and it could even go to six, it could even go to seven. But I just feel that Miami is, as far as team chemistry and talent, is just on another level. And when they're clicking on all cylinders, I mean, there's no stopping them. And you're going to give them time right now to kind of rest up and heal up and maybe kind of a little bit clear their minds, per se, if you want. I mean, it's just I don't see how it could not be an advantage for them.
Okay, JC, how about you? Now, your team was fortunate enough to play this Miami Heat team without the likes of Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and company. Do you think this is a situation where their chemistry will be thrown off, or do you think they'll be right back to square one and knocking teams off night in, night out?
Listen, they put themselves in a situation to do this, and there's not many times a defending champion can put themselves in a position where they have everything wrapped up as early as they do and are able to, you know, hope David Stern's not listening, but rest their guys. And, you know, they'll be fine. What scares me about the Heat is they had the best player in the NBA, and he's playing his best ball ever. So as much as it's not necessarily about cohesion with that team, LeBron's going to find his guys. You know, the more important thing about the rest, in my opinion, is Dwayne Wade's getting the rest. And we all know how physical Dwayne Wade is and how banged up he gets. The fact that Dwayne Wade can get all this rest, boy, I tell you what, it really scares the hell out of me for who the hell is going to play the Heat in the playoffs. This team's going to come out flying. You'll see him pick it up here in the next couple days. They'll start getting back on that court and start playing some games again. But when that light goes off in game one in the NBA quarterfinals, oof, look out. I feel bad for the Bucks. There might have to be a 20-point rule for them. I feel bad for them.
So, Sirius, how about you? I mean, because last year you slowly turned into a Heat fan on the low on me. I mean, Do you think this rest could slow these guys down, or do you think they'll actually have that same chemistry that they had just a few weeks ago?
You know, let me go ahead and address that initial statement. I didn't turn into a Heat fan slow. I turned into an Oklahoma hater.
Hey, don't let me get Mr. Mosley in here and start calling out your answer.
Hold on.
Just address the situation.
Hold on a second. You're not going to sit there and try to throw a little dart at a brother and not have me bobbing weaving.
If that's the case, John Corbin just took you out enough. I don't even need to swing on
you
no more. I'm
good. He didn't do enough. All he did was yell, fuss, and cuss, and sound like a crazy man on the radio. That's all he did.
Status radio said, put a statement out, and your status just said, wow, wow, wow.
Wow, negative. Go back and listen to the tape.
Go listen to the tape where Sirius still hasn't made a point.
Here we go.
What my man said. Anyway, the question at hand, gentlemen. Y'all sitting there trying to cut us into a meeting, JC. I'm about to call his show. We can go at it all day. I don't care. We can do that. But my point is...
I appreciate the viewers. I appreciate the listeners. Hey, any Clyde gets a great call.
That'd be crazy, homie. That'd be crazy. Trust me. Yo, the answer to the question, though, the Heat'll be fine, man. I don't even worry about the Heat. The Heat'll be fine. They're going to be cut down the nets here in a little bit, man. They ain't nobody beating them.
Heat Rockets final, right?
I wish. But not so much.
Jordan, you know what? I think it's just me and you. We the only two that do not like the Heat. Like, we the only two that are not Heat fans on here. You know that? Jordan, do you know Jason at least admits that he's a Heat fan? You know, so I give that credit to him. Sirius comes in and says, I'm not a Heat fan. I was just a Thunder hater. And then next thing you know, you got JC talking about, ooh, if these guys get their stride, ooh, he start getting the chills. Like, I don't know if y'all seen Lion King, but when the hyenas heard him say Mufasa, they got the chills, say Mufasa. Ooh, that's how JC.
First of all, Sirius is doing what he knows.
Hang on, man. You can do all that rant and screaming and kicking stuff.
Listen,
at the end of the day, man, y'all had your turn to talk. Jordan, how do you feel about these guys, man? I mean, your team stopped this team at full strength with Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and company, and now we got to deal with all of these Heat fans. You know, some of them want to show their colors. Some of them want to, you know, hide. You know, your thoughts.
I'm just gonna drop a quote from the Waterboy. These are finely tuned athletic machines. They will be fine. This rust and this and that, they'll be fine. And they're playing Milwaukee in the first round. Those games are gonna be called right before shoot around, and the fans are all gonna be asked to leave the arena so they can start cleaning up the popcorn and peanut shells. The Heat will be fine. they'll be
sounds
good.
Like another Heat fan to me.
No, I'm just not gonna call Milwaukee beating Miami in a series. I'm not that. Now if they face my guys, we ain't scared of them. Milwaukee's gonna be shaking in their sneakers seeing LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Chicago's not backing down. If we face Miami, they better be ready for 7 and maybe even 8. They might have to add another game to the series.
My man said 7+1. My man never played 2-4-13 too much.
Listen, I just want to let y'all know this. I don't like to talk about my boys, but the point guard comparison, I just seen Russell Westbrook has 25 points. Tony Parker has 2. Shaking my head. Wow. Okay, so let me get you guys out of here. Single file. Y'all already know how y'all have to do. I had a lovely day in this kitchen. Y'all made my day. I'm up here grinning ear to ear. Because Sirius and Mr. Corey brought it today. I'm proud of you guys. I'm really proud of you, man. I have to, man. But one by one, let me get a plug and a closeout from all of you. Mr. Status Radio, let me get you first. Give me a plug and a closeout. what you got going on. Let the people know what's going on.
Always got to be serious in myself carrying the show. What can we do? Listen, I'm not going to promote what I got coming up. Last night I did an interview for all you wrestling fans out there. I had about an hour interview with John Canton that's up on the site. He's a WWE insider. He gave you all the scoop, what's going to happen at Mania, what's going to happen after Mania. He even talked a little Canada baseball. The guy's from Canada, so the accent's kind of funny if you want to listen to it. But, you know, you can check that interview out, mtrradio.com/John Corey. I'll be on the air who knows when. I just know that whenever that person that shall not be named wants to try to check me, he knows where to find me. I'll be everywhere he wants to be. Have a nice day, fellas.
You just buckle up. They will be coming for you. That's all I'm letting you know. Just be on your toes, please. That's all I ask.
What's he gonna bring? Avery Johnson's coach of the year? I mean, come on.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know. He said he's been hearing you talking junk about him, John, and he said he's coming. That's all I remember him telling me. That's all I remember.
Guess what? People go into Walmart too.
Hey, at the end of the day, man, he said he's gonna make you act like those prices, and you're gonna roll back. Jordan,
you should be a key trader.
Hey, you can call it how you want. He says you two think you guys are carrying me. I'm too tall to act small. Jordan, give me your plug and close out as we get out of here, brother.
Wow, SportsCityChefs.com. Wow. Just if anyone's going to tune into the show, you know now you need a bag of popcorn and a large drink because it's going to be entertaining. Let's go, Bulls. We go into Brooklyn undermanned and we knock them off in their own building. Chicago is going to get at least to the second round. And if the MVP comes back, Miami, I say this every show, we ain't scared of you, LeBron. We're not scared, especially Kirk Heinrich. I'm sure he'd love another round with you. I'm out of here. You guys have a good night.
Did you say Kirk Heinrich? Wow.
Jason, did you hear that? He's asking for you guys, man. So give me a plug and a close out if you want to rebuttal before we get out of here. Please do so.
I mean, just be careful what you ask for, man. You're going to wake up the monster, wake up the sleeping lion in the den. But, check out the website, sportscitychefs.com, blogs, interviews, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And, you know, I was a little bit quiet tonight. You know, everyone's arguing between the Knicks and the Bulls and what the Mets going to do. And I'm just sitting there like, no one's going to beat the Heat, and everyone is admitting it, just enjoying it and just loving it. I'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
Wow, and look at this dude throw a low blow before he get out of the kitchen. I'm telling you, man, these people are split. Serious, give me a plug and a close out with your Heat fan self.
Yo, man, it's your boy Sears repping that 412 and the 703, man. It's a pleasure to be in the building. Yo, I tell you what, man, I ain't got hype like that in the building in a minute. Oh, my goodness, man, this dude got my blood boiling. But it's all fun, man. It's all jokes. It's all love, you know what I'm saying? I should have drunk this man and smacked him in the head with the bottle afterwards, man. We do this all day. Yo, man, definitely check us out. We're on SportsCityChefs.com. www.SportsCityChefs is the website. Facebook, Twitter, man. We got blogs. We got your interviews. We got your stats, your statistics. We got it all, man. So definitely check us out. Tomorrow, we got the roundtable TV on the 1-2 doing work. And definitely check that out. Saturday, Gridiron Chefs, Greenwood holding it down. Sunday, man, we got something every day of the week, man. So definitely check that out, man. It's your boy, Terrence, and I'm going home.
That's what you call the real Agent Zero, Russ popping these dudes and sending them back to the Alamo. Thunder up. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, and the chefs. I'll be back here, like they said, tomorrow evening, afternoon, however you want to look at it, 6:30 p.m., roundtabling this one up. You already know how this slogan go. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And Mr. Status Radio, it's on Sunday. And if you don't know, Now you know.
Problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Sports City,
That's all I got. I'm gone.